Blog Talk Radio.
Thank you.
Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. I want to see you high and lifted up, shining in the light of your glory. I want you to know that God is truly worth praising, worth worshiping. He is God, and there's none beside him. Father, we thank you tonight for the great power and the anointing that you have put upon this program tonight. I pray over those who will be talking on this program, Lord. I pray the anointing will be so strong upon them, Lord, that they will lift you up, Father. They will glorify you in the words that they speak, Lord. I pray that all of our hearts will be your heart, Lord. We press our hearts up against your heart, and we ask that you will press everything out of our hearts that does not line up with you. And I thank you, Lord, for the opportunity that you have given us to minister to the whole world, Lord, that the whole world will know the greatness of our God. Thank you, Father, for everything that you've done for us. In Jesus' name, amen. I want to say good evening to all of you. God is so good. His mercy endures forever throughout all generations. I was teaching a group of men this evening in prison, and Sunday I taught about 11 men in jail, and we were talking about men being in their proper place, their position. Everything that God made, everything that he created on earth depends on man doing his job. Everything. He created everything on earth for man to do his job, even woman. He even made him a woman and presented it to him because he said it's not good for man to be alone. So he made him a woman to fit him. So it's important that we understand as men that we are the foundation. We are the foundation where everything stands on. So when we're out of order, then the whole creation on earth is out of order. So you're wondering why disasters are happening. You're wondering why all of these things are happening. But I want you to journey back to the Garden of Eden. There were no tornadoes. There were no earthquakes, no divorces, none of those things, no murders, nothing until Adam sinned against God. When Adam stands against God, that it presented a world that God did not want us to live in. So this is the world we chose to live in. This is not the world God chose for us. The Garden of Eden was perfect. It's a perfect environment. The atmosphere was clean. The water was clean. Everything was perfect. But when man, who was made to rule over the earth, when he got out of order, then everything got out of order. So when he gets in order, then everything will be in order. So we got to realize that. In Genesis 1 and 26, after God had made everything, he says, "Let us make man. Let us make man in our image and after our likeness, and let him have dominion over everything." So God created man like himself to rule over the earth like God rules in heaven. That's why Jesus could say, "Let thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. So it is the responsibility of man to bring in the kingdom of God on earth, like it is in heaven. Instead of selling out to darkness, we need to walk in the light so our families can be protected. There are two main positions for man. Number one, we're talking about the man of God, the man who has a relationship with God through Jesus Christ by the Holy Spirit. Number one is to be a good husband. Number two is to be a good father. Those are the two main positions for a man. I don't care if he's the CEO of a company. If he don't know how to be a good husband or a good father, everything is going to fall apart because in that home, he's not developing his children to be good citizens. Everything we have starts from the house. Everybody comes from home. So if our homes are bad, everything is bad. So it's hard to have a great nation when we don't have great families. It is hard to have a great family when you don't have a great man, because everything starts from the man. God is good. I want you to talk about that. This is what we want to talk about tonight. We want to allow God to teach us. I think Canaan's on tonight. You on tonight, Canaan?
Yes, sir. I'm here.
Speak on that, brother.
Oh, thank you so much for that. Hello.
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 Yes,
praise the Lord. Oh, yes, thank you. And, you know, I'm just so happy to join with you this evening. And I'm so happy for the Glad Talk Show, radio show. And, you know, this is a great opportunity for me to, you know, be with you all. And thank you for joining with us tonight, wherever you are. And, you know, whatever the circumstances you might be. But just I tell you tonight that there is something God, a specific thing for all of us. And I just praise the Lord for all of the brothers and sisters who joined with us and who is listening these words. Let the Lord speak to your heart. And this evening, and I just want to encourage you with a couple of words that from the Bible or just from the book of, you know, the Bible. So, you know, tonight I'm telling you, my beloved brothers and sisters who are listening these words. Today the world is going through many crises. Everybody has the problem, and, you know, the devil is, you know, working like anything because he knows that the time of him is very short. So, you know, he's making the people and just affecting the people in many, many, many ways. You know, people are under the mountains of troubles and mountains of problems and mountains of sufferings. And tonight I challenge you and I encourage you with the words of God. You and I and all of us need to speak to our mountains. We need to speak to our mountains. I want to talk to you today about having mountains moving by faith. In likely all faith mountains. Maybe a mountain in your marriage, you do not see how you will stay together. A mountain in your finances doesn't look like you will ever get out of debt or even accomplish your dreams. Maybe it's a mountain in your health. The experts have said that you are never going to get well. A lot of times we are praying about our mountain. God, please help me. God, please make my child strengthen up. God, please take away this fear. And yes, it's good to pray. It's good to ask to God to help us. But when you face a mountain, it's not enough just to pray. It's not just enough to believe. It's not enough to key. You have to speak to your mountain. Jesus said in the Mark chapter 11, whoever will say to the mountain and be removed and does not doubt in his heart, he will have whatever he says. Amen. So some
Thank
of
you, Lord.
You today are just, all of us are praying about things you should be speaking to. You don't need to pray about the fear anymore. You need to say, fear, I command you to leave. I will not allow you in my life.
Yes, Lord.
Instead of begging God to heal you, he needs to start talking to the sickness. Sickness, you have no right in my body. I'm child of the Most High God. You are not welcome here.
Oh, thank
and
you,
I'm
Jesus.
Not asking you to leave. I am not saying, pretty please do me a favor. No, I command you to leave my body tonight.
Right now, in the name of Jesus.
If you are going to have mountains moving faith, you got to speak to your mountain. I have learned if you don't talk to your mountains will talk to you.
Well,
all through the day, those negative thoughts, you are never going to get well. You are never going to get out of debt. Your business is going to be under your problems and suffering. That's your mountain talking to you. Either you can sit back and believe those lies. You can rise up and say, hey, wait a minute. I'm in control here. I'm not going to let my mountains talk to me. Mountains, I'm saying to you, be removed. You will not defeat me in the name of Jesus.
Thank you, Lord.
It's not a coincidence that God chose a mountain to represent our problems. Mountains are big. Mountains seem permanent, like they are going to be there forever. You may be facing a situation now that looks like it will never change.
Hello? He's talking about the mountain. I don't want to address that.
You must have cut off. Lord, I just want to say a prayer over myself tonight. I had two trying days, and someone was telling me that, oh, the devil's attacking you, but I don't believe that. I believe that the Lord shakes up situations so that we will move, because when we get comfortable in our situation, then he can't do what he needs to do. So right now, in the name of Jesus, I just thank the Lord for my situation in my life. I pray to you, Lord, that you would help me not to look to other people to meet my needs, but that I would look to you, Lord. I realize that no human being can control my happiness. Ultimately, I may choose to live in joy because of my relationship with the Lord. Going back to the original question, W.L., about men and women and the Garden of Eden, that sin messed up everything. And right now, as Christians, God wants it restored. Jesus came to so that we can restore it back to the original way that God wanted it. And a lot of people don't understand that, especially men and women in the younger to 2014 type relationships. My question is this submitting. And a lot of the young wives don't understand what the submitting part is. And the men don't understand the submitting part. So that's what I want to address. If anybody can agree with me that if the Lord said that if a man loves his wife or his mate as Jesus loved the church, then it's easy for a woman to want to submit to her husband and follow him, because he is the head of the home. She's not made, she's the helper. She's not the leader. But women by nature are aggressive. Women by nature are curious. Men by nature are passive. They just let the woman have her way. But we have to stand on the word of God and try to get it turned back around to the original way that the Lord wanted it to be. And that's women, we need to let them, give the men a chance to perform and do what they need to do in order to be the head of the household, and for us to sit back and be his help. In the name of Jesus, I pray this for the young couples that are marrying today. I pray this for myself if I ever remarry. I pray that God will put this on the hearts of engaged couples, couples who have been struggling in their marriages, about who's in charge. God is ultimately in charge, but the man is the head of the house, and he is the ruler over his house under God's authority. And that's my thought on that, in Jesus' name.
So let's look at that. God made man to be the head of his creation. Okay. Made man to be the head of his creation, which is the foundation. So when the foundation is bad, everything's going to be bad.
Amen.
So what if you had a house that weighs, you're going to build a house on a foundation, and the foundation will only hold 800 pounds, but the weight of the house that you're going to build on that foundation weighs 1,000 pounds. So you got a problem. When a man cannot take care of his family, when they cannot stand on him, when his word is no good, because he's the foundation, and that's the way God made it. God made him to be responsible for his creation. So it's not the women, it's the men. Because when you get men in their position, I believe women will follow them. I believe women what their men do. I believe that with all my heart. A man that has influence, godly influence, that will take care of his wife the way she's supposed to be taken care of, she will be glad. She will, because she'll be free. You know, I never had a problem with my wife talking about equal rights. She had more freedom than I had, you know, because I took care of her. I supported her. I spoke life into her. I didn't degrade her. So we got to find men who will take on the heart of God. Once we take on the heart of God, we can be the men we're supposed to be. Then women, I believe, you know, it's all about God. I believe when women trust God, they will submit to their husband. They will pray for them. They will support them. Oh, I believe that. I believe it all starts with the foundation. I don't think you can build a house and start with the roof and come to the walls. And then the foundation. No, you have to start at the foundation. So men are the foundation of the marriage. He's the foundation. So then you start building with the wife. Then the children. So if you can't take care of a wife, you don't need children.
Amen.
So you need to know whether you can take care of her. Can you support her spiritually and physically and all of those things? That should be the question. Are we bringing up men to support women? Are we bringing up men to have women to support them? That's the question.
Yeah, it's all a big mess. It's all a big mess. But what about a question, Mom? Remember when we used to say, what about people that learned the wrong thing first? You know, they saw this in their home, and it's generations of it. They wasn't saved, you know, so you got generations of the same old stuff. You do as I say, and then you have some of these other religions, like I'm not going to say what they are, but, you know, where the wife bowed down. And then they treat women like slaves and sex slaves, and And the men can have as many wives as he wants, but, you know, it's really back in the old kings in the Bible times, the concubines, and as many as you could take care of. And these men even don't even do that nowadays. So we just need to pray and just ask the Lord to restore them and give them and teach, keep talking and keep talking and keep preaching and keep sowing the word of the right way to go before, when they're young, before they get it in their head the wrong way.
Well, let's look at it this way. We're talking about Christianity, right?
Right.
So first step is to be born again, remember, to be what?
Right.
Born again. So we got to get back to line with God in order to get our marriages in line. We've got to get in line with God before the men will get in line, before the women will get in line, before the children will get in line. So it's about being born again and operating under the anointing of the Holy Spirit. Then we can get men where they love their wives, where they respect their wives, where they honor their wives. Then when women are born again, then they can do the same for their husbands. But you take hard to make a dog act like a cat, and he's a dog. So if you're not born again, you're not going to operate in the things of God. Let's hear from Sister Mary.
I'm looking at something I wrote, and it says, "Love what God loves and hate what God hates." Now, I've got a door here that I've had since 1968. I came in this house with the love of God and with God, and he's been right here all this time. And I've stood at this door. I call myself the gatekeeper. And I can tell you right now, I fought everything that I knew of that wasn't God, that because it wasn't coming in here. I don't care who it was. You're not bringing it in my house. But a lot of things would creep in sometime that I would miss.
Well, forgive me, Mother, forgive me.
Yes, yes. But what I'm saying is, when I got married to live with him the rest of my life. Well, I realized it wasn't going to be a rest of my life the hard way. And that was because I made a mistake when I chose him, saying I didn't care, including God, who didn't want him, who didn't want me to have him. I wanted him. And God took him, and I owe God and him a vote of thanks, because that's why I know the Lord, from being honorary. There was nobody no honorary than me. I felt like they knew no more than I did. But I paid for it, and if God hadn't kept me, I would have paid for it with my life, physical and spiritual. But I was left. I woke up one morning with 5 kids and me. And where I come from, I came from a very good home. We'll say a good home. Better than most. But spiritual-wise, no. Because I don't think that they actually knew. I know they didn't know Jesus, the Jesus I know. But I had to put my foot down. And I felt like that if it took my whole life, if I had to give up my life, if I had to die for my children so that they would know Jesus like I want him, and even at that time I didn't know him like I know him now. But I felt like that I gave birth to them, and they had a right to what I wanted them to have. I wanted them to know Jesus. I wanted them to know right from wrong. I want them to be willing to work for a living so somebody else couldn't run over them. Okay, when I got this house, I come in this house with laws and rules for me. And to this day, they're in this house. Now, if I'm a married woman, I'm a married woman. And if I was single, I was just that. And you can't do either one of those things without Jesus. I submitted my life. I gave a lot of things to the Lord in sacrifice. He took them from me. Praise you and thank you, Jesus, for doing it. And I prayed a mini prayer. I come through my back door telling Jesus, I want to know what my father knew. Well, what did my father knew? No, I had an old father. And my old father was a man of, in other words, he was a man of honor. He wasn't a liar. He would help anybody. He was just himself. He had no pretense in him at all. And when he gave his heart to God, you would have thought he was the uttermost Christian. You would have known just from his living, not because of all the things he was saying, because he was not doing that. But I wanted to know what Daddy knew. And to this day, right now, I do know what Daddy knew. Daddy knew that God was God, and he would always tell us as children, you don't have to worry about dying, you're going to do that. You can't say you ain't going, you can't say you ain't ready, so just be ready to go. Forget about that, now let's get the rest right. But I went, we're talking about a household. And I taught my children to keep the commandments of God. On Saturday, there was no TV, and oh, Lord, and don't mention the holidays when I realized that the Christmas tree was not about Jesus, because from that day since, I don't forget what year it was, there has not been a Christmas tree. If you want to be Santa Claus, you can. If I don't give somebody something, I'll give it to them on Christmas, or I might give it to them today. But that's just how I am. Anything, what I'm trying to say is I have a Christian, I have lived and do till this day. I gave my life to Christ, and every day I give my life to Christ, looking forward to faith, in faith, to him for my life as well as my seed. I feel like that I'm responsible, since I gave birth to him, that I'm responsible for my seed to make paths for them to walk in, and they're already laid, and so if they can just follow after Jesus, they know. I just keep talking, and I didn't let them by with nothing. I mean, they said I was mean. They said everything in the nation about me, but they come back now and thank me for it. Mama, amen. We thought you just crazy because I'm not letting people come in here and eat up the food I bought for my family and be gone. There ain't nobody coming in here. The ones that's in here are going to lay up with somebody, not in my house, and not marriage. You're not going to do it, and neither am I. Praise amen. God. We have to, we got to be, when you choose Jesus, you got to be willing. And let me explain something to you that early I thought about today. There was a young man that had gone to a Christian university, and he had gotten filled with the Holy Ghost, and he learned about Jesus. Well, he realized his mother didn't know about Jesus. So the things that were going on in the home, he knew that if you don't hate the things that God hates and love the things that God, the Holy Spirit's not going to stay with you. That's one way of knowing that the Holy Spirit is with you, because you will hate what God hates and you will love what he loves. But anyway, he was trying to explain to his mother about Jesus, Mom, about Jesus, and these things will straighten themselves out. He did everything he possibly could. So it come to him one day, oh, I know how to explain to her. He said, if I go out here in the hog pen, because his mama was a clean freak, if I go out here and I bring these hogs out of the pen and I'm going to put them in your house, oh, that hit her. I'll get my broom and I'll get them out of here. He said, well, Mama, that's what you have to take the word to, and take the word like you did the broom and get rid of the devil out of your life. Amen. Thank you.
Amen. Praise God. God is good. You know, when you think about what you said, The truth of the matter is this. Jesus Christ paid it all, everything. It's not by performance. It's by faith in him. For by grace are we saved through faith, and that not of ourselves. It is the gift of God. So we keep the commandments because we are saved, not to be saved.
Amen.
And when we, like you said earlier, and I like this, we begin to hate what God hates, and we begin to love what God loves. And that's
right.
The thing we need to realize, that that must be ingrained into our male children, because male boys become men. You can't teach a man how to be a man if he's a man, but you can teach him how to be a man before he's a man. So we need to start teaching our sons how to be real men, and we need men to teach them. So we got to break that cycle. We got to break that cycle of men leaving the homes and leaving their children to the woman. Because many women are frustrated, they are stressed out, they are depressed, because they are having to try to do both jobs. And if you don't have a man in the house, guess what? You can't do his job. You can't be father and mother. You just can be mother. That's all you can be. But thank God for mothers who have stood strong. But if your children are doing well just with you, what would have happened if the father would have been
it,
in the
it would have been wonderful, but he didn't want it. But now he's older than me, and he's he's never he wants people to know that was a part of his life that he threw away. But he's the one that threw it away. Like I said, I married him to live with him all my life. I never would have needed another man, not in my life. But he had other children the age of my children and things like that, and I did not have the mental ability to live with that. And at that time, I mean, I was young, emotional and things, and I just could not. Although, believe it or not, it wasn't my idea. It was one day when I had been praying. I was sitting down in my living room in the house I lived in before I moved to this house. My children were in diapers, some of them. And Have Gun Will Travel, come on, about... Oh, it wasn't dark, but it was on its way, and the kids had a bath and were ready to go to bed. I want you to know the room that I was in became a brick-o-block room. Didn't have any windows or any doors, and I'm in this room just like I'm sitting in my living room now. And God himself spoke to me and said, if you'll free him and let him go, you and your children will never want for anything. Then he showed me what would happen to me if I tried to hold on to him. He says, he showed me in this little white, yellowish casket with a light on my face, dead in flesh. He showed me in another part of the room, not knowing that I was in the world. So I said yes to the Lord, and I trusted the Lord. And so when people would hear me trust in the Lord, they didn't know what I was talking about. Another thing that I can explain and to tell you about what I'm talking about, since we're talking about my husband, I don't talk about him, especially in a negative way. I owe him a vote of thanks, Lord. And it took me years and years and years to get over loving him. It really did. But one time he pulled a gun on me that was loaded, and it was clicking in my ear. And the Holy Spirit says, don't move an eyelid. Be as still as you can. Listen to me. He shall not harm you. And I never flinched. I didn't move an eyelid. And I could hear that gun clicking, loaded. I knew it was loaded. Well, then I knew that I didn't know this was after the vision that I had seen. Then I knew that I had to figure out how to get away from him. It took me from 1963 to 1967 to get away from him, and I got away from him not only legally, but divorced him for the same charges and the same price because I sued him for legal separation. And he was educated guy. See, he figured I couldn't do nothing if he didn't go to court, not knowing that that would free me. So when he didn't appear, then I got the judge asked me why I changed my mind. And I said, well, I didn't want to be accused of something if I decided to take a ride to the grocery store with somebody. He says, good luck, Mrs. Simmons. And Mrs. Simmons has had good luck ever since, living for Jesus.
Amen.
Praise God. God is good. Standing on yet? Are you back?
Yes, sir. I'm back.
Praise God.
And,
some words.
I'm listening. Pardon?
Speak to us.
Yes, sir. Thank you. And, when just you are sharing your heart, you know, things that from the depth of your heart and from the life, you know, the background and what happened in the past and happening in the present, it gives me a lot of encouragement, and not only to me, to many others who are listening these words. And my prayer tonight is with all of you is God is going to construct the marriages. And as you all said that, you know, God is going to reestablish the things. And He's going to make the broken pieces into one piece, and the broken pieces are going to get down, or going to be a one piece in the name of Jesus tonight. And this is truly God's time and God's power that's working. And, and this is all of our responsibility. And, as I told you earlier, that whatever we might be going through, any kind of, family trouble or, the marriage or issues or whatever it may be. But just tonight I tell and agree with all of you in the name of Jesus that God is going to rebuild everything and reconstruct everything, and just he's going to do his wonders in all the families who are in these particular struggles. And this is my words, and I'm just so happy to share with you.
Amen.
I like what you were saying earlier about the mountains. We're going to have to start speaking to the mountains. And Jesus has speaking to the mountain. If we doubt not, if we have the faith to believe God, then we need to, instead of cursing people out, we need to bless them. They need to see the blessing of God on our lives. They need to see us going the extra mile. They need to see us with the influence of God. And this is what this is about tonight, is that we learn how operate like God. I like what Sister Mary said. We need to hate what God hates, and we need to love what God loves. But if we're not studying the anointing of the Holy Spirit, we will still have somebody else's message rather than God's message. So we need God's message. We have his message if we're going to defeat darkness. And Mr. Marie?
Yes.
You can speak.
Okay. The Lord, I know that Satan is very real. He's a very real enemy, and that he would like nothing better than to make me ineffective for you and your kingdom. I ask that you, Lord, will help me to stay in your word and to be aware of the truth that no matter how powerful Satan is, you are more powerful. This week, I cannot tell you all the stuff that went on in my life, but I had no fear. And people saying, oh, the devil's after you, the devil's after you. Oh, And then other people saying, well, when Satan's messing with you, then there's something good coming. But you know what? I'm not worried about it because I already have the victory. I'm a child of God. I've been married 3 times, 2 divorces, 1 death. And I'm still a woman. I'm still young, and I trust God for what He has for me. I'm raising a 5-year-old baby boy, and I'm trying to. My son wrote me a letter today. I put it on Facebook about how I was a good mother and a father, but I don't know how to be a father. I don't know how to be a father to this child, but I read a lot of books and try to. But God Himself and the Holy Spirit will fix all of that. And this child Amen. Will be different. I get another chance as a saved mother. Before I raised my children, I was not saved. I didn't know the Lord the way I know Him now. So I'm instilling the Lord in this child. And the Holy Spirit will walk with me and guide me with this child, that he will be a mighty man of Christ. And I declare it at 5 years old, that he is filled with the Holy Spirit, and I decree it, and ain't no devil in hell can change that for my baby. Being a single woman, man or no man, I decree and declare that for my 5-year-old son, because I believe
Amen.
The Lord.
Amen. Amen.
Amen. I like that. We have to decree it. We have to. The devil. Really, if God has all power, that means the devil don't have any power.
He don't have none.
If he ever's got power, it's because we allow him to have
Amen. He uses ours. Amen.
He has no power whatsoever. He has no power over Adam and Eve. They gave power. So when
they did it because that's what they chose.
God
Amen.
Give Satan power. If we obey God, he has no power. He has no power because we say God is all power. All means everything.
That's right.
So the devil don't have no power over nobody. He just bluffs his way through. He has a losing hand.
And see, with me, I'm learning as I get older. I'm 50.
Amen.
And I'm
Amen.
Learning that, you know, we live in a microwave world. Everything is instant. You want it right now. You know, I don't want to wait until then. I want what I want when I want it. But that's how a lot of people make the wrong decisions. God might not have
Amen.
Said that's your husband. God might, you know, you have to wait on who the Lord says, and it might be years, and then the Lord might be your husband. Sometimes, you know,
Amen.
I heard a lady in church the other day said, I'm married to the Lord. So I can be married to Jesus. And
I've been married to him for years.
My mother's been married to the Lord for years and never seen my mama with a man, and she's on the other line, and I'm 52 years old, other than my father, and that's the gospel.
God is able to take us through any situation. It is right for a man to be the foundation. It is right. But God will take us through any situation.
He will.
Any question. I know a lot of single mothers who have good children. Amen. I know a lot of them that don't. But the point is, God take a bad situation and make it good.
Amen.
He can take a mess.
Amen.
He can take a mess and make a messenger out of it. So
it
was a mess, and God made a messenger. So God will do whatever God wants to do. That's what I love about God.
Yeah.
May I speak for a second?
Yes.
What I want to say is that we have to take our life day by day, hour by hour, and most definitely step by step. And step
Amen.
By step to me means that I choose Jesus. That I
Amen.
Choose you. I choose to cuss you out, or I choose to bless you. I can
Amen.
Choose to
Good,
get
I
up
like
and
that.
Eat too much, or I can get up and obey God and not be a glutton. I'm talking about everything, because last night the devil, I'm not giving him any glory for anything, but he was on me too. and he wanted me to think that I was going to have a heart attack and everything else. But I wanted him to know that God was bigger than him, and I wasn't hearing nothing
Amen.
He said. And
mouth.
One
Amen.
Thing about it, when you're alone, you're not. Your head is not quiet. There's a conversation going on in your head. So who are you listening to? You have to pay attention and close attention to see who you are listening to. Have you ever had it right and then get talked out of it and wind up in a mess? Yes, that includes me. But I didn't fall for it because I know God's voice. And if you pay attention, you'll know God's voice. And if you don't know God's voice, you'll fall for anything. And it don't have to be a person, but it'll be inside your head. You are not, when you're alone, not around nobody. You're having a conversation. You need to pay attention to what's going on in your thoughts and what you're thinking about. And that's what I wanted to say.
The Bible says, he that is spiritual judges all things, but he himself is rightly judged of no one.
Amen.
So we got to realize that we are, when we operate in the Spirit of God, we can judge all things. How much is all? All things.
Oh,
the entire,
yes.
Yeah.
So we don't have any slip-ups when we allow God operate. We only have slip-ups when we expel God out of our midst.
Amen.
Because God is taking care of us. The Bible says, David says, I'm an old man, and I've never seen the righteous forsaken yet, or his steeds begging bread.
That's
so I believe all things of God.
That's my favorite thing. That's my favorite thing. I don't have no seed loss and none begging bread. Thank you, Jesus. I don't.
Amen.
Not a seed. Not a seed. Not a one. Hallelujah.
You know, that's what I love about God. He's faithful. He's faithful to his word. That he'll never leave us nor forsake us.
And so that's where our joy comes in. Hallelujah.
God is our strength.
Amen.
Let's pray over this situation. I want Brother Canaan to pray over men right now. Pray for men. We need men to be in their place.
Yes. Father, I just thank you and I praise you for tonight. Thank you for allowing us to share your word and share our, you know, thoughts with all the, you know, brothers and sisters around the universe. And thank you, Lord, for this great conversation and your word that you put in all of our mouth to spread the gospel. And thank you for this, you know, the wonderful people that who are working for the kingdom of God and for you, Lord. And thank you for this great community. And yes, Lord, we have authority. And, you know, the man is the head of the house. And so he need to go according to your construction. So lead all the families around the universe according to your construction. You be the head. And let the man be the head of the family. And let him know that he will, you know, continue the guidances and the, you know, footsteps of you, Lord. And thank you for the people, you know, who are listening these words. Whatever the problems they are going through, we do not know. And whatever the sufferings they are crossing through, we do not know. But yet we ask you, Father, just to you be with them. You stand with them, Lord. You remove all of their mountains. And you take away all of their mountains with your precious blood, Lord.
Thank you,
Lord. You are with us. You never forsake us. When we live the righteous life according to your help, Lord, and we will never have lack in our lives, Lord.
Amen.
Thank you for your promises. Thank you for your word. Thank you for your guidance and thank you for your protection. And I pray for this ministry. And Lord, enlarge its territory, Lord. and Lord this ministry, Lord, to the ends of the earth. So many people need your gospel, Jesus. Lord, bless this ministry. Be a blessing for many people. And let this ministry be a vessel for your kingdom, Jesus.
Yes.
And thank you for this, you know, people. And, you know, thank you for Scott, and thank you for Mama, and thank you for Mary, and thank you for all other brothers and who are sisters who are, you know, being part of us. And bless us all together. Let your Holy Spirit guide us and protect us. And let your blood, you know, cover us. And may Lord help us and guide us. Thank you for being with us. Thank you for your protection and grace. We love you, Jesus. Thank you for hearing my prayer. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen.
We have area code 469. Do you like that word?
Well, praise God, Pastor Scott. I'm just actually driving, leaving a Bible study, and when I looked at the time, I said, well, I got a few minutes where I can get in and listen, and I just want to give God praise tonight because his word is true, and we know that he never fails us, and everything that we seek in him for in this hour is already done. Amen. When Jesus said on the cross, it is finished, he gave us everything that we need, and now it is our responsibility to tap into it, to be in right position and right standing so that we can gain that wisdom to be those mothers and fathers and godly ambassadors that he has ordained us to be. And I just want to speak my blessings over you and everyone on the show tonight. I've been missing because God is opening so many doors, so much going on. And I praise God for that. But when I can get in, I'll definitely make it a point of being a part of this powerful dialogue. So I just want to thank you for the opportunity.
Amen. Amen. Thank you. Appreciate you. I just want to thank God for all of you being a part of this dialogue. This is what this is about. It's about letting God work. I'm never afraid to open the door for the Holy Spirit to work, because anytime you have a move of the Spirit of God, there will always be demonic activity. So I'm not afraid of the devil. I fear God. I would rather serve God. I would rather stand with him. But I want to thank all of you for being a part of this program tonight. And we'll do it again on Friday. Same time, same
thank you.
Because he wants us to get involved. He wants us to get involved. This time with him, not just self stuff, but this, we're all a part of this program. And I love you.
Amen.
We'll have a women's discussion group when everything gets together. But God will work it out the way he wants to work it out. So
Amen.
God bless you. May keep you at Joe, on your way, we want to take it to the King. That's what we want to end with.
Amen.
We want to take everything to the King. In
Jesus'
name.
I'm tired, options are few, I'm trying to pray, but where are you? I'm all churched out, hurt and abused, I'm weak, no strength to fight, no tears to cry, even if I try, but still my soul refuses to die. One touch will change my life. Take me to the King. I don't have much to bring. My heart's torn in pieces. It's my offering. Lay me at the throne. Leave me there alone to gaze upon your glory and sing to you this song. Please take me to the King. Truth is, it's time to stop playing these games.
Bless you.
God bless you.
Good night.
Good night.